in a certain setting. And I know I'm going to get emails of like, but being a psychopomp is a thing. And I'm like, yes, it is. But that is you being in a very specific situation that invites things to appear to you because they need your help. You know, like it's, I don't think things just randomly appear because you buy a deck of cards.
No, I agree. I'll just leave it at that. I agree.
And that, I feel like that leads into, like, what tarot actually is. Tarot is, like, a tool that you can use, like we've already said. And we kind of already talked about how we use it, essentially. But it's just, it's another tool you can use to kind of psychoanalyze yourself.
It's my therapist that I don't have to talk to.
Or pay.
Well, I mean, I pay it once, and after that, they're mine forever.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a couple different types of tarot and oracle cards. So one of the things I wanted to mention is in this book I've been reading called Kitchen Table Tarot by Melissa, I'm going to butcher her name. I think it's Kinova, but it may be Sinova. It's with a C. She has, like, this awesome list, decks that you can start with and types of decks. So the basic traditional deck is the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, and that's the ones where you get, like, king, queen, is it knight and page are the ones they use for that one? Or in The Wild Unknown, it's father, and mother, son, and daughter.
Yeah, that's... Yeah. And they also sometimes will be prince and princess, depending on the style.
And those are the basic ones where you have, like, the four suits, you've got the major arcana, you've got, you know, 1 through 10, and then the other ones. So she lists a bunch of basic decks that are really helpful, and then she also lists some more diverse decks, because one of the things I think that, like, one of the reasons it took me so long to actually buy a deck or get into it is that all of the cards are, like, the same four white people doing the same things, and if there's women in it, that's great. Usually it's a bunch of men. And the pictures don't really resonate with me at all. But the basics are really easy to learn meanings on. So the ones she lists are Llewellyn's Classic Deck, the Radiant Rider-Waite Tarot, the Albano-Waite Tarot, Anna Kay Tarot, the Gilded Tarot, and the Universal-Waite Tarot. And then some of the ones that are kind of more diverse and might also lean into almost oracle-ish for a couple of them are the Slow Hauler Tarot, the Tarot of the Silicon Dawn, the Gaian Tarot, the Trungles deck. I don't know what that means, but it's a thing. Modern Spellcaster's Tarot, Sun and Moon Tarot, the Goddess Tarot, the Relative Tarot, the Lover's Path Tarot, the Fountain Tarot, which actually is a Rider-Waite-Smith deck. It just has an extra card. I actually got that for my best friend, and she loves it because she really likes the artwork that's on it.
It's beautiful imagery. I did have that deck briefly.
Yeah, she really likes it, but it has 79 cards instead of 78. Mm-hmm. So that's really its only difference. Let's see. Fountain Tarot. The Mary L. Tarot, the New Orleans Voodoo Tarot, Tarot del Fuego. I just like that name. The Mother Peace Tarot and the Morgan Greer Tarot. So, like, if you don't like the imagery and you don't want to buy a basic deck, you don't have to. It just makes it easier on yourself.
Most of those decks that you named follow the Rider-Waite system. I noticed they like to leave off the Smith portion, and I'm not sure why. I read an article about it forever ago, but I can't remember.
Yeah, she called it the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, but I've never heard it called that before. It used to be called,
because, oh god, now I'm gonna have to look it up. I don't remember. There's a reason they started leaving Smith off of there. But most of those follow that same basic Rider-Waite theme, with the exception of maybe the imagery on the card standing for something else. So, like, Mary L. Tarot is... I've seen most of those tarot decks, and it's the only differences I can think of are imagery. But they also have... Oh, crap. Oh, sorry. the one that Aleister Crowley made, I think it's the Thoth deck.
Yeah.
H-O-T-H. Yeah. That one I've looked at, and I haven't bought for myself, but I really... I wanted to have a real firm grasp on... you know, the Rider-Waite system before I started another one, because that is much different
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
And then there's one more, and I want to say maybe it is Lenormand. The Lenormand?
Yeah, the Lenormand.
Okay, because there's three. I'm pretty sure there's three, unless I'm missing one.
And I think you mentioned it earlier, but people kind of associate the Lenormand ones with Oracle now. Mm-hmm. So the Smith thing is that it's Pamela Coleman Smith was commissioned by Arthur Waite to illustrate his book and the cards. So if you want to look up her story, it's like crazy because I Googled it while I was reading this. But it's Pamela Coleman Smith. So she did all the artwork, but the meanings and stuff were Rider and Waite.
Oh, that seems silly. I would leave her on there. She did all the art. All the imagery that's based, the base for everything else.
What I can assume, I haven't Googled this, don't quote me, is that the other two are dudes, and she is a lady, and all she did was the artwork.
Yeah, all right.
Is a very convincing sexist argument that I could see happening.
Well, then I will from now on refer to it as the Rider-Waite-Smith deck.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm gonna try to do. We'll see how many times I fuck that up during this.
Probably the next time.
Yeah, so then there's also, we'll get into more detail about it, but essentially choosing your deck is, for me, it's all about the artwork. And I think people are leaning more towards that now, but I think a lot of it might have to do with, like, what your own personal practice and your path is and, like, the things that are going to speak to you. Like, I'm very much not a religious person anymore, as we talked about last time. And so the wild unknown is great because there's no people at all. Mm-hmm. There's no religious imagery, which happens a lot in some of the other decks. It's a bunch of animals. It's really cool drawings from a female artist who I don't mind giving money to. Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's kind of all of it wrapped up for me. And it's pretty similar for the one I want from Bakara Wintner. Like, she's a badass woman who's also an entrepreneur and, like, is making her own shit. And that's the kind of thing I want to support. Mm-hmm. So that's why I went with that one. But it's essentially, like, there's no right or wrong deck. It's easier to start with Rider-Waite-Smith. But you don't have to. I've heard of people starting with the Thoth deck and then getting real clusterfuck brain problems trying to do the Rider-Waite Smith. Crowley
is a pretty, man, you will get stuck on that. That dude is something else.
He's so interesting, though. Like, I love, he ends up in all of my history or tangentially related podcasts that I listen to in one way or another.
Uh-huh.
He's just there.
Well, no, he was a genius, but he was a fucking dick, man.
Oh, like, yeah. Well, also, like, him and the fucking nuclear missile guy. What is Jack Parsons?
I don't remember his name.
Aleister Crowley owned the house where Scientology, nuclear defense missiles, and his little church thing all started in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just let that sink in. The people who started nuclear missiles and jet airplanes were friends with Aleister Crowley and L. Ron Hubbard, who are two very different men. But I don't think I would want to be friends with either of
with
them.
With any of them, probably not. No, I have the Wild Unknown, and I've had other decks. I've had one that's actually similar to playing cards. It was like a Halloween deck, and the only imagery it had was the number of the card, basically. It was almost like reading playing cards. And I didn't like that one as much, but my three to four most used decks are the Wild Unknown, the Wildwood Tarot, which leans a little more to the Wiccan side, but I love all of the sort of classic nature Wiccan imagery, just because it's kind of almost like a fantasy deck.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay.
It's neat because they actually assign, that one actually is a little bit different than the Rider-Waite. They kind of assign their own meanings to things to go along with the Wheel of the Year, which I thought was a neat take. And then at the bottom of all of the minor arcana cards, it actually gives you a word to go, because since their meanings are a little bit different and they kind of coincide with seasons, they'll give you a word to go with it. And so it's just another way to familiarize yourself with the Rider-Waite system loosely. And then I also use the Vintage Wisdom Oracle, just because I love that sort of, like, haunted woman imagery that's basically on every card. And then I also use the goddess something oracle. And I've used that one so much that it's like starting to fall apart now. And it's basically all it is just goddesses. And like, it gives you kind of what their story was. I mean, not in any sort of real depth. And then sort of things that they were attributed to. And then it gives you like a sentence like, don't give up hope or something cheesy like that. But I love it because it's very supportive. None of it's negative at all. There's nothing in that deck that will be like, oh man, this is such a bad card to pull. You know, whereas like if you pull the tarot, you're like, oh, okay, come on. This one's just like real fluffy. If you need some love, it's a good deck to work with. So
yeah, I have, but they're all different. The Wild Unknown Animal Spirit Tarot. I like it overall. I just have weird problems with it. Like, everything is connected to a chakra, and it's all about yoga and chakras and like aligning with different yoga practices. And it, like, there's been a lot of talk about like white girl yoga recently and like adopting these things and not knowing what they mean. And it just reads that way because it's just a very brief little guidebook. You know, it's not going to get super in depth with things, but it's like how to bring your chakras into a line and why this animal thing might connect to it. And I'm like, could you have left that out? And she also refers to some things as spirit animals, which I always have a problem with. But that's
I remember.
It's my anthropology and working with tribes thing. My brain won't accept it. But the artwork is really cool because it's not just like real animals. It's like there's a giant sea serpent, there's a dragon, there's like golden eggs and stuff in it. So it's very calming to look through. Like, some of the cards in a tarot deck are, like, even if they're not inherently negative, like, not all of the imagery is very calming.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it's not supposed to be, and that's fine. But the oracle decks, I feel like, are all very happy, supportive, fluffy little things, for the most part.
I am struggling to come up with one that isn't, so I'm going to say probably you're on the right track. I don't think they were always like that.
Probably not.
But that's, based on what we're going to go over later. But I would be interested to see an oracle deck that didn't have so much fluffy bunny love and had more of like a, well, you fucked up and here's how it is sort of, you know.
Yeah, I feel like maybe because people get so afraid of the tarot cards that the oracle cards are supposed to be like this big separate thing that's like, if you need a little extra energy or a little extra something, like pull a card and see what's going on and what you have available to help you, kind of a thing. I don't know, though. I only have the one, and it's the first time I've actually used them. Because my first introduction to oracle cards was somebody saying they have angel cards, and they look at angels, and they talk to them, and I'm just like,
nope. Yeah. I have lots of scribbles about that one, so. But I would say, when it comes to tarot versus oracle, obviously the biggest difference is that oracle cards just give you a word, and every deck's different. Tarot cards, most of them seem to follow that. You know, you've got wands, cups, pentacles. They follow that same basic principle with the major arcana and the minor arcana, whereas oracle cards can have any number of cards that you want at all. It can have 5. It can have 27. And you are assigning meaning. They'll give you a guidebook, but it's basically up to you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. That's pretty much what I got. And there's an infinite number of types of oracle deck.
Oh, yes.
I tried to just Google it to see if I could, like, ballpark a figure, and it's just, there's no statistics, there's no way.
No.
So first, we want to talk about oracle cards, I guess, and then the history of those a little bit.
As much as I can find, there's even less, I shouldn't say there's even less, the most popular brand, which we mentioned along with the tarot, the Thoth, the Rider-Waite-Smith, and the Lenormand. I'm going to screw this up a few more times. Those cards were actually created by Marie Anne Lenormand, and she was alive during the late 1700s to early 1800s. She created these cards to go along with her basic career as a card reader and a, what do you call it? She did Tassiomancy. So she used to read tea leaves, but also coffee grounds because not everybody had tea. And she would travel around the world doing these big performances, reading tea leaves and coffee grounds for people. And she created this deck to go along with it to make her show basically bigger, like be able to call more people in because now she's reading cards too to go along with it. So a lot of the symbols that were in like the Lenormand, I'm gonna do it again, Lenormand deck, came directly from commonly known symbols that people would look for in their tea. Because tea leaf reading's been around forever, you know? You see it in movies. And so they took those symbols and put them on cards to go along with it, basically.
I want the Grimm card.
I always think of
Professor Trelawney in the... It's the Grimm! Like,
she's my favorite. I always think of that whenever I have a cup of tea.
Yes! Same! I'm like, hmm.
And she wasn't born until 1772, but one of the websites I looked at mentioned that they think in 1775 there was mention of a storytelling game that seemed like it was also used for cardomancy, which is reading cards for divination, but they didn't have a name of it. There's not really any concrete proof, so it seems like late 1700s, early 1800s is my guess, for oracle cards. And it seems like it's collectively agreed that they basically stemmed from tarot cards and tea leaf reading.
Yeah.
So
that's a pretty good century time period to start fluffy happy cards, because the entire world was angry.
I've never seen that deck, though, so I have no idea if they are fluffy happy or not. I guess I'm going to have to pick one up and see what we can do with them.
Yeah, because that's like American Revolution, then the French Revolution.
Yeah.
Then a bunch of, like, the Bolsheviks come a couple, well, they start a couple years later, so.
Well, I'll have to pick up a deck and we can flip through that one. I wrote down that classically Oracle decks had anywhere from 36 to 54 cards, but it's anywhere they want. There's no regulations on how many cards can be in your Oracle deck.
Yeah, mine's 72.
As many as you want now. And then Oracle cards kind of paved the way for angel cards, which people who read angel cards are determined to keep those separate from Oracle cards,
it's kind of like the Krista Wiccans and the Krista Pagans, where they're like, we're Christian, but we do this extra. And I'm just like, those are some very competing doctrines there.
I don't know, man.
Okay. You do you.
Basically, the angel cards, I didn't really see anything of that before Doreen Virtue made a shit ton. She's got so many different angel decks, but they all basically are for the same thing. And one of the biggest things that I would see on those, the difference between tarot readers and angel card readers, is that tarot readers are said to rely on their own abilities, while angel card readers claim to link themselves to the angels to get their information. So they're getting their information directly from the angels.
They're downloading it from the mainframe. They just haven't taken their pill yet.
Yeah. And I've actually had an angel card reading one time. I was in a group where we used to exchange readings with people to let people practice. And I had an angel card reading, and it was real interesting.
I
am not a fan of that.
I've always had a problem with them, because my first introduction to using cards to do anything is that, I think her name was Sylvia Brown, that lady that used to be on the Montel show. I think she's dead now. Yeah. But she had the smoker voice.
Uh-huh.
And,
she used to talk to dead people, right?
Yeah. She would say that, like, she'd go to the parents of these missing kids and be like, no, they're dead.
I just watched and the then, thing on that, yeah.
Yeah, one showed up! One showed up like 6 years later after she'd said, no, they're dead. And they're like, why did you stop fucking looking for me? I've been like through all this horrible shit. And it's like, one of them also was J.C. Lee Dugard. the girl that essentially was kidnapped for, like, 12 years and had to have babies with the kidnapper and, like, Stockholm syndrome out the wazoo. Like, Sylvia had told her parents she was dead until she managed to sneak out, essentially, and get to the police and be like, no, this is my real name. Help.
I have no idea if that lady used cards or not, but I know that she referenced speaking with angels, and that always makes me a little leery.
She did it on the Montel show. Like, she had the cards, and she was, like, explaining to him how she did it. Yeah. Oh. My grandpa, my grandparents used to babysit us, and my grandpa really loved Ricky Lake, Montel, Maury, and Oprah. So I'm a 90s child, so that's what I would watch. And, like, it got me into some really cool stuff, like, really cool documentaries and stuff that I would, like, watch later. But then there's also real weird shit like that. And it just, it rubs me the wrong way. Because I feel like people can definitely tap into an energy that might be outside themselves. But typically the people who really can do that don't talk about it. Like, they don't advertise themselves as, like, I'm psychic, ask me shit.
If you've read anything about angels in the Bible, why would you want to talk to them? That sounds terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, they're on par with demons for me. I don't want to talk to either of them. Really.
Like, the only real great instance you could argue where someone talked to one, they ended up pregnant and almost stoned because they weren't married.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Touché. I don't want to talk to any angels. I've got enough babies.
Yeah. I don't want any right now. They can come later. Have dogs. That's bad enough.
Can you tell me when you're ready, and then I'll buy you some angel cards, and you can discuss away for your immaculate conception.
Oh, God, no. No thanks. Definitely not. but yeah, I feel like they do definitely resonate with people who are like, I'm psychic, but for Jesus.
Psychic for Jesus.
I just had the biggest eye roll. I'm really sorry if there are any people on the Christianity and witchcraft mesh path. Like, do you? That's your thing. Cool. It's not mine.
Well, I would love to understand more about it, but most of what I'm seeing on these angel cards is directly linked to Doreen Virtue, which is extremely problematic.
Yeah.
Basically, angel card readers will say that they're psychic and they're connecting with the angels. Tarot readers, some of them say they're psychic. I've heard that before.
Yeah.
But for the most part, most of the people that I talk to seem to use it as a tool for yourself.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like this leads kind of into, like, the harmful uses and warnings section, but most of the time, the people who advertise, like, oh, we're psychic, at a shop or something that you're going into to specifically get a psychic reading, might use tarot or palm reading to convince you that something bad is happening so you'll buy more of their services. And, like, not to diss on Reiki, because I have some friends who are really into it and they have not done this to their clients, but it goes along with a lot of Reiki stuff, too. Like, they'll use tarot and Reiki and stuff and be like, oh, well, your cards are showing, like, some really bad shit, but we could clear that up for you if you buy more of my services. And I feel like that's just everyone who is sleazy in general does something like that to try and convince you to give them more of your money. It's not just tarot or psychics or anything like that. Because there are people who I'm sure have, like, real abilities, but those people don't usually advertise it like that.
I've worked with a plethora of people who claim to be psychic. I've worked with someone who says that they could tap into the Akashic Records and see all my past lives. And then, I really have tried a little bit of everything, and I try to take it with a grain of salt. Akashic Records. We didn't even touch on that one. That's a whole nother...
That should be an episode by itself, probably.
That'll make me sad.
I feel like people with innate abilities typically don't try to become the next mega psychic. Because that's putting so much on yourself, because using those abilities is so draining. Like, I could just see it happening when some people are talking about that stuff. And they don't try to take advantage of people when they get, like, a hit on something. Mm-hmm. Whereas there's those psychics, like, the ones that are always on TV, where you can see they're, like, watching. They're watching body language, they're fishing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, oh no, Ross and Carrie, for the start of the year, went and got a tarot reading. And the person that they got it from claims to be a psychic who's also a Reiki healer and Christian. Somehow, all of those things. And she's using tarot cards, and the way she's doing the reading is, like, she just keeps laying down cards while they're talking. She's not explaining anything. And then she looks at them and tells them how it works. So it's like, so you must have a really hard problem with, like, speaking up for yourself, right? And she's saying this to someone who is, like, the head of the division at Pixar, who is in charge of being like, no, this is how the project's gonna work and it's due now, kind of a thing. And he's just like, no. And, like, there's some definite predatory ways you could take it. And I feel like that's a thing about, that people should look out for if you're trying to find someone to do a reading for you. I feel like you should go to somebody that you trust.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like you said before. Like, you have a couple people that you trust to do it, because there are people in every profession out there who are just trying to take your money.
Like, exactly.
Look at all of your high school friends who joined MLMs. Like,
well, I didn't have a lot of friends, and most of them don't have jobs, so
there
wasn't a lot of MLMs.
Everybody who didn't go to college where I'm from, and they just did high school and that's it,
mm-hmm.
are all in It Works in my hometown, like, now, and all of their posts are terrifying. But, I mean, like, the people who invent the MLMs are the scammy people, right. You know? Like, there's always gonna be somebody who wants to get rich quick versus someone like you and your shop. You offer tarot readings, but you also do them for free if somebody really needs help.
Like, oh, God, I'm such a sucker. I finally had to stop. I actually took them out of the shop for a while because people would message me like, oh, I really need help. Can you pull a few cards? And I'm like, yeah, all right. And for a while, my husband was like, he cut me off on it because it is hard to read for multiple people in one day if you're not energetically ready for that. And
yeah.
I'm all like, yeah, I'm going to do it all. And then I'll do it and do it and do it. And then I will just crash super hard. And that's why I also don't read, I don't do, like, parties for people anymore. I did that one time, and I had such a bad, like, energetic hangover the next 2 days. It was worse than, like, drinking a bottle of tequila to myself. I'm not even kidding you. It was nuts.
I
was so ill-prepared for that. It was crazy.
I can't even go to a party and be a guest without crashing for 2 days, because I'm super interested. Like, Mark and I had people over to talk about D&D and watch anime, like I talked about in the last episode, because we're nerds. The next 2 days were just like, I can't do anything.
Done with people.
Like, not just done with people, we were like, there was no energy. Like, I couldn't even make food, we just ordered. Like, we're just like, fuck it. Like, I'm not moving
like
from
lot.
The couch.
Well, this was my brother-in-law's girlfriend, so my roommate, it was for her birthday, and it was here at our house, and she asked, and I was like, yeah, all right, I'll try it, because I'd read for her, and, you know, I'll read for the few family members who ask me, and then a lot of people will private message me, and the thing is, I love to give advice. I'm really shitty at taking my own advice, but I love to give other people advice. So pulling cards is like, yeah, you know, I like being able to help someone, but then you also get those people who you read for, and they just want to argue with you about it. And then it's like, this is not me. I'm just telling you what this says. And I, you know, if you tell me no, I believe you. You don't have to convince me that you're, you know, this guy really is a good guy and he's not going to, you know, steal your money and buy drugs. I'm pretty sure he's going to steal your money and buy drugs, but whatever.
Yeah, like, I did paid ones for a while and then I took my stuff down because I just, like... I don't have time to even do readings for myself. Like,
yep. It is hard.
Yeah, and then you also get the things with these Facebook groups, like the one I admin. We had a problem where, like, every day the same 20 people were like, can someone pull cards for me? I'm having a rough time. And
well, at this point, buy your own fucking deck and pull your own. Help yourself.
Half of them had a deck, and they weren't posting their spreads that they didn't like to get better interpretations. Uh-huh. They were just being like, I can't read my own cards. I don't understand. And I'm like, so maybe you should do some work and learn to practice. Understand. Right. Because we have other people in that group who are like, they have some other problems. And so their tarot reading is like their major source of income for a certain period of time during the year. And like, they were doing all of these free readings for these people. And I'm like, dude, like, we have to stop people taking advantage of them. Because it was the same three women in the group who were doing like a billion readings a day for free. And like, on the Small Business Saturday posts we do, posting their tarot business. I'm like, that's not fair to them. Mm-hmm. That's not fair to the emotional labor they're going to have to put in to do a reading for somebody. Like, and especially because half of these people had their own decks.
Right.
Like, just post a picture of your spread and be like, I don't get this. What's going on?
Tons of people are more than happy to chime in.
Yeah.
It's a fine line, I think. One, running a semi-spiritual business, you know, and reading for people versus... Because I know some people feel weird. Some people think you shouldn't charge for spiritual work at all. Shouldn't charge for tarot readings. Shouldn't charge for making the candles or whatever.
Which is stupid because, like, preachers get salaries at churches. Like, churches pay them. Part of your donation every month to a church is going to pay that pastor's salary.
Right.
Like, they're not doing it for free.
Right.
The church can't operate for free. They have to turn lights on. So I feel like that's a disconnect a lot between Christianity and other options. Is people expect those other options to be like you doing it out of the goodness of your heart and you shouldn't be charging.
I'm all for. I really am. I which is why sometimes I'll do like free one card readings for as many people as I can fit in. But it is draining. But the way I see it is two ways. One, my time is money. My time is extremely limited. That's my own fault. I'm not blaming anybody. It's actually a lot of fun most of the time, but my time is money for me because if I'm not doing those tarot readings, I will fill that with either my job or my other job or my kids. I will do something else with that time. So if I'm giving it to giving a card reading, I give it my full attention. I do as much as I can. I try to make it worth it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, some people don't like it. And then the other thing is this not necessarily for tarot, but in, you know, for when I make these candles or when you make your soaps, you are putting so much energy into whatever it is you're making. And then that person is purchasing your energetically filled item, which even if you don't believe in, you know, energy transference or whatever, and then using that item as like a stepping stool to get where they want.
Yeah.
So, which is also why I love to shop from other people's
shops.
Because sometimes I don't want to have to put the extra energy in. I want to use somebody else's because I'm tired, man. Like, I want a little help. And it's different. It's different energy. So not everybody's product or spiritual offering is going to align with you the right way. But I do have some shops that I love and will periodically, you know, sometimes I even buy other people's candles. I don't even use my own all the time. But originally it was because I couldn't find something that really worked for me. So I think that if you offer something spiritually crafted, whether it's a tarot reading, a card, a soap, whatever, you should be charging for that time. But I also struggle with people who email me asking for advice. You know, I have this problem. What do you have any spells or ideas you think I should do? And sometimes what I'll do is send them a list of affirmations that I would use on a candle that I've made without being like, oh, hey, buy my candle. I make a candle, but if you'd like, I'll send you the list of affirmations that I find helpful for this problem. Because I don't want them to feel like they have to buy my shit.